Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
How about that one? How about that one? Child or child?
Which one?
I think it was child, myself, and then Nancy wants to fight her outside. Ugh.
Why take it outside? Do it in front of the
right
cameras.
There.
Let's all see
fight
it.
Fight right there. Well, that's what we're doing right now in St. Paul. So let's bring on one of our favorites, the former governor of the state, Tim Pawlenty. Like all of our guests, Tim is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Are you here in the cold weather, or are you somewhere warm?
Well, at the moment, I am in Florida, but I'm headed to Minnesota in a couple of days. I'll be back there shortly, and I understand the weather may be a little, not so hot right now, maybe getting better next week, so my timing is good.
Yeah, your timing is very good. Your timing is also good that you're not the governor right now. Let's just be honest. There's plenty of blame on all parties. Just review. Curtis Johnson shouldn't have run for office. He didn't live in the district, so he's out. We had to wait to get a ruling whether Brad Tapke won. The judge rules in his favor. But Lisa Damith on this show and elsewhere, the at least now Speaker of the House has said, I'm not sure we're going to seat him. That we have the final say. Then the Democrats, let's for sure include them, saying that, hey, we've got our leverage. We're not going to show, so you can't have a quorum. So basically you can't start without us. Then to defy any attempts to say they didn't even show up for office on Tuesday, they had a secret swearing in on Sunday. They act like it wasn't secret. Yeah, it was secret. We know that. So there's blame on both sides, and obviously you're Republican. Is there one side that bothers you more than the other right now?
Yes, and I know this is going to be predictable, but it's the Democrats for these two reasons, Chad. One is, regardless of the legal technicalities or, depth of the legal analysis that goes into this, there's a basic requirement for all of us, especially public servants, that you show up for work. And I think Minnesotans will quickly understand, and rightfully so, that if you get elected to do your work and represent the people, you got to show up. And the other second point is this. If the Democrats' main argument is you can't really do anything until you have 68 votes, and currently because of an empty seat pending a special election, it's, no side has more than 67, then why can't you show up and stand behind that perspective? What are you afraid of if no business can be conducted until a 68th, one side has 68 votes? And, so on the one hand, they're arguing you got to have 68 votes to do any business. And on the other hand, they're not willing to show up even with one side being short of that. So it's very frustrating. It's a clown show. And I think it'll all get resolved here in the courts and when this other seat gets filled shortly through a special election.
We'll get to the courts and what has happened today, what predictably has happened today. I blame both, but I'm never a 50-50 person. It drives me nuts. So if I have to blame one side more than the other, I'm with you. I'm blaming the Democrats more because they should show up and they shouldn't have held this swearing in secret. It's my good friend Kevin Burke who did it. Kevin was on with us the other day. He acted like it wasn't a secret. I have massive respect for Kevin, but that was done in secret. So I'm with you. Show up. I think they're also losing the PR battle because what you said and what I'm amplifying here resonates with people, Tim. People think, now, wait a second. There's a lot of parts of my job I don't like. And now you're going to be in the minority, and so you're not showing up. I think it's ticking off a lot of people, not just hardcore Republicans, but I think there are independents and Democrats who are shaking their heads at what the Democrats are doing.
Yeah, and I think also, Chad, just for no reason. So temporarily, they would have been down 67-66 if they showed up. Again, their argument, I read the Constitution just a little while ago, again, in anticipation of this show, in the Minnesota Constitution, I think it's Article 4, Section 7, although I may be off by a number or two, says that a majority of the House, a quorum is a majority of each House. And it's a little ambiguous, but, the courts are going to interpret that. But the Democrats' view is that means 68, majority of 134, which mm-hmm. is the number of seats in the House. But they won't even show up and stand behind it. So I just don't understand what they're doing. I think it's a bad PR move. I think it's a bad legal move. And it's just beneath Minnesota to have our public servants acting like, junior high kids.
So, as you know, now we have a suit, right, where the House Democrats and the Secretary of State, Steve Simon, who is a Democrat, filed lawsuits with the Supreme Court challenging what they're doing, again, on this 68-67. So you're a lawyer. Right. I mean, you know this, but we can have different interpretations. Do you believe the Secretary of State, Steve Simon, is being influenced by his party, by the fact that he is a Democrat in saying that 68 is the required number?
Well, here's what I know for sure. I don't know Steve Simon's mind, and I don't want to assign motives or put my thoughts into his brain. So I'd take a pass on that respectfully. But what the Constitution does say is that a quorum of each house of the Minnesota legislature is a majority. And that's what it says. And so people, including lawyers, can argue about what that means. Does it mean a majority of the 134, even if some of the seats aren't currently filled? Does it mean a majority of the seats that are currently legally filled? Does it mean a majority of those who are present in the chamber at the moment of the vote? And that's what the courts will decide. But if your position is you can't take action until you got 68 present to have a quorum, then stand behind that, show up, put that on the record, and then take it to the courts if you want to. But again, the big fumble here, among other things, with the Democrats is they just fail to show up. It's ridiculous.
This is the 39th governor of the state of Minnesota, Tim Pawlenty. He's with us. Okay, let me talk about the Republicans, where I think they are vulnerable. Lisa Damoth, who's made herself available on this show multiple times, and I greatly appreciate that. Tim, when she is saying, I don't even care about the judicial decision on Tapke, and now it's come in, and he has been declared the winner by the judge, we'll decide if we're going to seat him or not. Isn't she wrong on that? Doesn't she have to accept the judicial decision and not say, it's up to her and the Republicans decide if they're going to seat Tapke?
There is precedent for the courts deferring to the legislature, again, within the boundaries of the Constitution and within the boundaries of state statute. And there's statutes on the Minnesota legislature as well that address some of this. But there is some precedent for the court saying we're not going to get in the middle of legislative rules fights, assuming it's within the boundaries of the Constitution statute. But I do think, to your point, the founding people for Minnesota and for our country wanted division of power, and they needed ultimate resolution of these kind of disputes. And you got to respect ultimately the court's decision, whether mm-hmm. you like it or not. Otherwise, yeah. we have chaos.
Exactly. We can't just pick and choose, because in theory, if you say that, right, if you say that, then the Republicans could say, OK, are we going to seat this person? Are we going to seat that person? Here's another one where I think Damoth has put us.
I also say, Chad, it's a lower court decision. They can appeal that. But
right.
if we're going to open the door to we're going to all get to ignore court decisions.
Yeah.
then, you know, it goes right to the issue of we're a country of a rule of law, not people, not whim, not it's not arbitrary. And once you open that door and walk down that path, then there's going to be a bunch of court decisions that you don't like, that I don't like, that half the population doesn't like. Where does that go?
To me, if it takes 3 weeks, because that's what it looks like it's going to be approximately until we get this election, and the chances are highly, highly likely that a Democrat's going to win that seat. But until then, to me, it's not that complicated that the Republicans are in the majority, that Damus should be the speaker, and they get to pass any bills they can pass and conduct business in charge. But then if, and again, we can be surprised, but if a Democrat wins that seat and it goes back to 67-67, then to me, you go back to a power-sharing agreement when you have co-speakers. And what Damuth, the point she made with me and elsewhere, it's no. If I'm speaker, I should be the speaker for the entire 2 years. Is she? Because I don't agree with that. I'm just saying for the 3 weeks, yes, but when it's 67-67, they should go back to their deal. Where do you stand?
Well, you can be speaker, according to House rule, as long as you have a majority vote of the chamber. But again, you get back into, in that context, what does that mean, a majority? And you know, are you going to have vacant seats? Is the majority of those present? So it sort of recycles those arguments. But one other thing, just stepping back to your point.
Yep.
Let's say she was speaker for a month, and the Republicans in the House passed a bunch of stuff. You know, with a Democratic-controlled Senate and a Democratic governor, they're not going to pass that, and Walz isn't going to sign it into law, and he can veto it. And,
exactly.
You know, they don't. Republicans don't have the votes to override the veto. So, again, the Democrats are holding out, not showing up, over a fiction that a bunch of bad stuff could happen. It couldn't happen from their perspective because the Senate wouldn't go along with it, and neither would the governor, and they don't have the votes to override a governor's veto anyhow. So this is all a kabuki theater to some extent. And if you look at it on the merits, I think you get back to, we can all argue about the legalities and the policy implications, and there aren't really any for the reasons I just mentioned. You got to show up. The answer to all of this is not, I don't feel like it, I'm going to boycott and pout.
Let me get to this. And obviously, you're giving your opinion, and you're more critical of the Democrats, that's clear. But you're not just fawning over Republican decisions also. The governor, who to me is way too invisible too often, who has been too detached on just normal negotiations, was really quiet until yesterday afternoon when he put out a statement and was clearly taking the House Democrats' side. Where's the balance in that? Okay, you're back in office right now, and you're giving us your view, and you think the Democrats are more to blame. How do you balance, okay, I want everybody to go back to normal point of order versus, in your case, I'm a Republican, and I think the Republicans are more correct. Where do we try to have the governor actually negotiate a deal versus, hey, guess what? I'm a Republican. I think the Republicans are more right, and I'm just going to give that opinion.
Yeah, and I think the governor could have done the state and this mess a great service by saying something like the following to the Democrats. Hey, a show up. It's just a bad look on all of us. It defies common sense to not show up. It defies the Minnesota work ethic and commitment to public service to not show up. And by the way, we can litigate this if you want, and it'll get resolved after the election, and the courts can figure this out on an expedited basis. But in the meantime, and this is Walz speaking, I got your back. If somehow something gets through this process you don't like, I'm going to veto it. I got your back. You got nothing to be afraid of.
Right.
And let's go ahead in an orderly, commonsensical way. And so then the whole argument about, you know, bad things are going to happen if we show up goes out the window. That would have been an easy fix.
The last thing, and I'll let you go. I agree with you. As long as Damuth is willing to say after the 3 weeks, when it's now 67-67, that I will give up the speaker position. She shouldn't be the speaker for the 2 years.
Well, yeah, and I have to go back and look at House rules on that, Chad, before I could comment on it, because I do know from my past as a majority leader, there's a bunch of stuff in House rules that are different than statute, or at least, you know, are not inconsistent with statute, that the courts defer to. And so I'd have to go back and look about how do you unelect a speaker.
Yeah.
And I can't reconstruct that this quickly. So I'm sorry.
Always a pleasure, sir. Stay warm when you come back here, and you know we'll reach out soon.
All right, pal. Take care.
Tim Pawlenty. He's excellent at this. Yeah. He's a Republican. What a shocker. You agree with him. I know you do. We've talked about this on and off air. I blame the Democrats more than the Republicans. You agree with that, right?
I do.
Yep. But you're with me on, and he's right on, and laws matter all the time. But she can't stay speaker the entire time if for 97% of it, it's tied, right?
It seems to make sense. And like he said, maybe there's something in the House rules that says that absolutely cannot happen, but
that's not possible, right?
Because I wouldn't believe it. I can't believe that would be there. So yes, once there's, and we're assuming, once there's an even 67-67 again in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for your work. Now you got to share the gavel.
Yeah. Simple as that. Who do you blame more? And put a percentage on it. If you just want to say, I blame the Republicans 100%, say that. You want to say you blame the Democrats 100%. You want to say you blame the Republicans 70%, whatever. We clearly, all three of us, blame the Democrats more. And you could say, by the way, it's no surprise that Pawlenty is taking the Republican side. You just haven't listened to enough on the show. He is not afraid to criticize his party. How many times on this show and others have picked up on it, as he said, we have to change our brand?
He's basically called the Minnesota GOP a party of losers
yes,
for the last 20 years.
Constantly has criticized his party, but also is still a Republican. And is proud to be Republican, but it's basically saying, hey, oh, by the way, I was the last one to win a statewide race in 06. Do something different. And by the way, he was highly critical of Trump at times, and because of that, when he ran to oppose Tim Walz, they dismissed him because he had the temerity to tell the truth.
Unmitigated gall?
Unmitigated gall, Stephen A. is here, to tell the truth about Donald John Trump. What do you want to say? You can call or text Rena in 15. So we'll get to lighter stuff. We got Patty Wedderlin on Serious Matters, her book, Dear Jacob, now out in paperback. Patty's with us at 105. Jim Pete, Wolves game tonight has now been moved to 2:30 a.m.
It's a good time.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
8:45, 8:50. I was giving serious thought to this game.
No, 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 no.
Nah, the Warriors aren't the Warriors anymore. I got this thing called a couch and TV. Right there.
Those are nice.
Plus, I'd probably end up just staying at O'Donovan's and drinking the entire time, yeah. Even if I had tickets, like about half the time I do now. Who you blame it? Let's go. Whose fault is it? 651-461-9226.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Again, you have your lane. I'm not allowed to touch your lane. You didn't know we'd go this way. Boom. Take this job and shove it.
Yeah, well, it certainly applies to what we're talking about now. It also applies to Joe Biden giving his farewell address tonight from the Oval. And former guest of the show, frequent guest, Andy Luger, saying at 11:59 tonight, I'm out.
Yeah, true. But we knew that.
Of course we did, but this is the day it's happening.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
Are you criticizing the bump theme right now? It sounds like you are.
I think your justification, Luger, because Luger on this show told us that was happening.
Yes, but today is the day that he's officially done.
By the way,
Chad,
Andy Luger, post-job, will make appearances on this show. Greatly looking forward to that.
Looking forward to it. He's got things to talk about.
Greatly looking forward to it. Let's take some calls. Lots of texts coming in. Eric, thank you so much for listening. You're on WCCO.
Yeah, I was listening to when you had Tim Pawlenty on a minute ago, and he's kind of said something that was like, well, maybe the Democrats are doing the right thing, because if you do elect a speaker, even though you got 67, 66 temporarily, there's no means to remove her and go with power sharing once that's been appointed. It's like if you lose somebody in the middle of a two-year term, do you then have to re-elect somebody? No, you just have another election. And, you know, there's no mechanism to change that once it's done.
No.
So why would they?
Because that the second part is incorrect. Because look at Carrie Diedzic. Carrie Diedzic was serving a four-year term. Tragically, she passed away. And a special election is coming up just in weeks. So no, the seat doesn't stay empty. They fill it.
No, it doesn't stay empty. But would that change the House leadership, or do we change the leadership of the chamber?
Well,
in terms if it went a different way, or would that person who was in charge, or however it was?
Yeah. Well, in this case, just in the Senate, it went from 34-33 Democrats. Carrie Diedzic passes away way too soon. Ovarian cancer is evil. It goes 33-33. Right. They have a sharing agreement right now. This is Dinky Town District. A Democrat's going to win it. Once it's 34-33, then the Democrats are back in charge. They're absolutely
do the same rules apply to the House side of things?
That's what people are trying to determine. It just can't be possible, though, right? Logically. Right. But again, there has to be a law. You're right. It can't just be logical. Right. But there's got to be other examples. Like I asked Hauser this. I asked somebody else this in the last couple weeks we talked about, because people can pass away. People can quit. And so.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, do you logically think that Damoth should stay as speaker the entire time?
I don't think that logically she could or she should, but is there any mechanism what's the mechanism to change that once she's established a speaker?
Fair. And that's part of what's being debated right now. Excellent call, Eric. I appreciate it.
Yep.
Let's get to a number of texts here, because then we got to get to Rena. My understanding is the Democrats, I'll read this text and I'll react, would have to show up if the Republicans agree in writing that wants a 67-67. They would then do the sharing room. That's very reasonable. Why should the House Speaker be a Republican for 2 years and Republicans have a majority for 2 weeks? For the above reason, I'm with the Democrats. That is the core situation, right? It was seat Tapke for the Democrats, and make sure after the 3 weeks you go back to co-speaker. I get that. But I still put more of the onus on him, Dave, to show up and battle it legally. Show up, do your work. Text, Minnesota Democrats playing the same game they learned from Trump. Delay, delay, delay. It's a valid point.
Good point.
Valid point. More text. All these are your texts. 83% the Democrats' fault. The reason the Democrats will do literally anything to prevent Republicans from having a speaker is they want to make sure the fraud in the Human Services Department can't be investigated. We have the fraud department now. We should have the fraud department well before. A lot of this is on the Walz administration, what they knew, what they didn't know. I need to see actual proof that that's what's going on, because that investigation is taking place. It's unavoidable. It's going to happen. But by the way, the Democrats look really bad on the amount of fraud that's happened in this state, including the governor. They share equal blame, this texter says. I think they've stuck with the original plan to share power. It forces them to learn to work together. More text. 75% Democrats, 25% Republicans. I blame the Democrats, but this whole thing is embarrassment. It reminds me years ago when legislatures in Texas went to Oklahoma. Yeah, it's happened before. It happened in Wisconsin. It's clownish. The governor should tell them to show up. If he condones their actions, then he's part of the problem, nothing getting done.
Yeah, I would have preferred walls, as we discussed on the show, then as we discussed with Jason, then as Jason discussed. Get involved in the damn thing, Tim Walz. For a guy who was a centrist as a congressman and ran One Minnesota, and in the first session he was involved, he got intoxicated by the trifecta. And he's just circling above St. Paul. And he goes on rarely, the media, and when he goes on where he knows what questions, type of questions are coming. I have become significantly disappointed in Walz.
Have him get the Republicans and the Democrats together, put on his coaching hat.
Oh, God, please don't.
Get them together. Locker room talk.
I'll be vomiting during the break, and then Rena will join us. Rena's on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker hotline. Now, I did something last night with two of my boys, Mike and Quentin, and knowing how you stand socially and interacting with people, I'm thinking there's no chance you would have done this. We went to Kobe, the fabulous Japanese steakhouse in Plymouth, did the hibachi, had the chef do all the tricks in front of us. He was great. We sat with strangers. We interacted with them. Dave, before we get to Rena, I'm guessing you would like that.
Not so much the strangers part, but I like the show. I've been to the hibachi thing a few times. I like the onion volcano, you know, the whole deal.
They're flipping things to you.
Yeah,
you try to
shrimp tails in the hat. Boom.
Yeah, right there.
It's a good show.
But you're saying you don't want to talk to the other people at the hibachi with you.
Pleasantries a little bit, but
I didn't go home with them.
I didn't say you did, but I don't want to dive into their personal life either.
You know, you think I said, what makes you tick? I didn't do an interview right there, you know. Okay, what's our guess with our lovely friend Rena, who goes to kids' movies by herself. Mm-hmm. Okay, by herself. Thank you. Apparently I'm having a minor medical issue here. Do you think Rena on her own would go to the hibachi? Would she be more inclined to bring her daughter? Would she go with the entire family? Or she would never go to a place like Kobe?
I think we're talking, what, 8 to 10 people sitting around the hibachi usually?
Yeah.
I think she would bring her daughter and, you know, maybe someone else in the family, maybe the husband, I don't know. But I think she would also buy out the rest of the table and just leave those seats empty.
I'm going that way, too. She's going to go in there. I'm Rena Sargentopoulos.
Carol Evans, Rena Sargentopoulos.
From Channel 29. From Channel 29. I'm Rena Sargentopoulos, Channel 29.
From the CW.
From the CW. I need my own table. And don't look me in the eye. Okay, what are you going to do with a Japanese steakhouse?
I have been to a hibachi before. What's the other one?
Benihana.
Yes, I've been to that one before with my husband and daughter.
Yeah.
It was fun. The only issue is it's a lot of food.
It is a lot of food. That is correct.
It's not the people. It's the amount of food where I was like, I don't know that I could eat anything else.
You know, they have this new concept called you can take it home.
No. And that stuff doesn't travel well.
So, okay, Dave looks just angry at
perplexed.
You. Yeah.
Everything travels well.
He eats food 12 days after its
that's
shelf life.
Over, so. By the way. Not even 12. I think it was, what, 15. Okay. So think about it. You're not getting the regular rice. Does anybody get the regular rice and not get the fried rice?
That's just weird.
I would suggest you're removed from the country if you don't get the fried rice. Okay, Canada, Mexico, I mean.
Send them to Greenland. Maybe they'll get
Greenland,
back in.
I don't know where you go. You got the fried rice. We went la-di-da, the filet, and the scallops. Ooh. Mike and I did that. Then Quinny did the filet and shrimp. And Mike ate all of it. I ate about two-thirds. Quinny ate about half. And so we brought us home. So it's fried rice, shrimp, and some steak with yum-yum sauce, okay, of course, in there. You got to have the yum. Now, did you have yum-yum sauce when you were at?
Well, you could eat yum-yum sauce on a shoe, and it would still taste good.
Correct.
So. But reheating rice just doesn't work. It just doesn't.
Yes or no, text me 651-461-9226. Can you reheat day old, not I'm not Dave Harrigan here, not month old, not year old, day old Japanese steakhouse food? I'm a yes. God, I'm not even going to ask you. Of course you're a yes.
It's not as good. Most things aren't, but you just put a little bit of water in there, you cover it up, you get it the steam effect. It's perfectly acceptable a month later.
A month later. Which foods are the best a day later if you bring them home? Okay, let's just go all off categories. Italian. You've got some pasta.
Mm-hmm.
Next day?
Yes.
Dave? I mean,
so good.
Yeah, it's good. Not as good. There's better options.
Steak?
No.
It's disappointing, usually.
It is not as good.
Cold on a salad.
Yeah, that's a good way. We like to make the turkey tacos a lot. And the next day for me, that's what I do. I don't warm it up, but I make the taco salad.
There you go.
Right? Dave, you have a lot of lobster at the house, I know. You just hang around and just, you know. What's your lobster night? Is it like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday?
If it ends in Y.
Yeah.
Usually just the tails, though. We throw the rest out.
Overrated.
Yeah.
You think lobster is overrated?
So overrated.
I had not consumed lobster in a while, okay? And then Kathleen la-di-da insisted we get lobster for Christmas. It's good, but I don't need it for a long time again.
See?
Yeah.
Overrated.
Yeah. I think it probably, you know what? I'm with you. Lobster is overrated. You won me over. Dave, lobster,
it
under?
Is. It's overrated. It tastes, I mean, it's good. It's not amazing. But for the amount of effort you have to put into getting the lobster, it's like crab legs. They're good, but come on, don't make me work so hard for this pretty good meal.
This is another separate category. So we can get a subcategory. Foods that are way too much work to actually consume them. And crab legs is at the top of the list.
And it's 100.
Not, and it's not like I'm, you know, hey, it's lunch. I'm having my crab legs. You know, I'm not doing that a lot. I got to be honest. But yes, and then all the work, and then you know, you get, you're with the person at lunch who's really good at it, and they kind of look at you like smugly. It's not that hard. I don't care if you're that great at crab legs. You know, pomegranate. A pomegranate, the pomegranate seeds are underrated. But if you get the actual pomegranate, you might want to end your life by the time you're done extracting the seeds from the pomegranate. Am I correct, Rena?
No, my goodness gracious. This is a bit of an overstatement. They are difficult, yes. But ending our lives of pomegranate is so very Chad Hartman.
Do you know me? Yeah, I have a tendency to exaggerate just a little bit. Okay, let's pause. Hold on. DeRussia is texting in. What does Jason have to say here? Hold on. My phone is starting to malfunction. It's not good. Rena is correct. That's why I usually reheat rice in a frying pan. Okay, how about that? Put it right. How about the air fryer? You got the whole world is an air fryer.
So fancy. He is so fancy.
Yeah, really, la-di-da have a frying pan. What an elitist. Who has a frying pan? All right, keep the text coming in, 651-461-9226. Robert Zimmerman brings us back. It's 52 past 12. Arena Sargentopoulos from Care 11 is here. We're talking about two things. Foods that it's just so much work to get to the food. You really don't want to eat it. It's not worth it. And then foods, they don't reheat well. And so a good combo of texts coming in. This texter, it takes a long time to make homemade pasta. I rarely do it. Not worth the time. But I would do it if I was cooking with Rena.
Oh.
Okay. So I came up with this idea, and I just want to bounce it off you. We'll have random strangers
text in who want to have you over for dinner Tuesday night. Okay? You will arrive there on your own in the back seat of a car, not knowing where you're going. And then you'll have dinner, and then we'll talk about it Wednesday. What do you think about that idea? You go to just an undisclosed location with just a random stranger, and hopefully we get a chance to talk to you the next day.
Let me consider it.
How much thought is she giving to that, Dave?
The proper amount?
The proper amount, zero.
Zero.
Artichokes. Okay. I think artichokes are underrated good, but this is another category. Foods that when you consume them, it's a weird thing to do. You know, when you're just kind of biting down on them and sucking through it, and somehow this sound bite's going to come back and bite me.
I was like that.
I have no doubt this is now going to be a part of the open tomorrow. But it's a small amount of food, the artichoke, right?
Yeah, they need to come from a can and be already cleaned and taken care of.
Yeah. Too much leaf. Also, too much leaf, mussels, Dave. What's that?
Mussels and clams and oysters. It's like, what's the point? There's like the amount that you would have to eat to feel full is ridiculous. This is silly.
Same goes for rice, but we could put a million rice on a plate. Works out.
That's way easier than trying to pick out mussels and clams and oysters.
Any salad, I'm reading your text, is not good the next day. Don't agree at all. As long as you don't put the dressing on the entire salad, right?
That's the key.
Yeah, it's the dressing that ruins the integrity of the salad leaf.
I didn't realize all of a sudden we were with Dave Harrigan, salad integrity expert.
Scientist, I prefer.
Scientist, excuse me. Pistachios in the shell. They're not that much work, are they?
Also, they're not pistachios.
I was going fancy. Pistachios. Well, I mean,
you better follow up integrity.
Well, I felt like I had to match the integrity specialist over there. Reheat rice by putting an ice cube on top and cover works perfectly. That's what you said, integrity guy.
Yeah, I never tried it with rice, but just a little water works.
Yes, reheating rice works well. No to the day-old rice, Rena is correct, which she is 99.5% of the time.
Oh.
Someone texted that? My mom's listening, obviously.
Yes, yes. Yum-yum sauce, overrated. This person.
Block them.
Goodbye.
Find a new planet. I mean, honestly, get off the planet. Who thinks yum-yum sauce? You know what solved the Israel-Hamas ceasefire agreement? They agreed to share yum-yum sauce. That's what it was. Also, an excellent text to you. I love this text. Does Rena have to wear gloves when she cooks because of all the dog bites at her hands? Asking for a friend, Jim from Richmond. It's perfect because I was going to ask you about your dog. We have not talked about your dog lately. Killer, what's up with the killer?
Killer's fine. We've had Nanny over the last 3 nights, so Killer hasn't gone outside for like 11 hours. Because she's afraid to take him out.
She's afraid of what?
She's afraid to take him outside. I don't blame her.
What nanny is signing up to work at your house with a dog that bites him or her all the time?
Okay, she's never been bitten by the dog. It is our niece. But she's never been bitten by the dog because we don't require her to take care of him.
She's in the house with the...
He's not like a murderer. He's just, you know, when he gets shocked or surprised or bothered or irritated or angry or hungry.
In other words, pretty much all the time. I mean, Dave, you showing up at any point to help this dog out?
No, I don't care if the dog's in the kennel. Sounds like he can bite his way out.
Exactly.
Possible.
Yeah, that's, that's good. Do you have one feature? Are we out of 50 or 35?
50, but
50.
Do what you got to do.
You have 15 seconds. Do you have any features you're working on right now?
Yes, I'm working on a 50th anniversary of SNL with Minnesota Connections.
Oh.
We're doing two stories, one on the music guests and one on the other Minnesota Connections.
Did Franken talk to you?
Yes.
Good. Love it. Thank you. Talk soon.
All right, bye-bye.
Linda's Construction Time Check. Time for me to stop talking. Time to get $500 off your insulation project. Call right now for more details.